Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Well, it's a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the Brad and Body Podcast listeners. Merry Christmas, Body. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. I'm feeling like I could be the Grinch and you could be an elf at this time of year.
I've been called a lot worse in my time, so it would not surprise me. How was your Christmas break?
Well, you know, it was
very merry.
Yes, bit of fun, bit of family, some surprise gifts and all that sort of thing. It was really good. How about yourself? You've got younger kids, so it would be more exciting for you at this time. My children are grown now.
Yes, younger kids, and I reckon I've probably put on about 10 kilos for what's been eating and drinking over this time. We got to Melbourne to visit my wife's family, so it's been absolutely beautiful. But what a week it's been, some things to discuss, and let's get straight into it. And I want to talk WNBL, some interesting scores over the weekend. I wouldn't say shocks or anything like that, but the Boomers got a win against the Flames. The Capitals got a win without their coach, might I add, and we will talk a little bit about that later. And Southside Flyers came back and had a good win. What you see?
Well, I think Southside's performance was particularly good because they were under the pump, but they came back from a double-digit deficit. Try saying that in a hurry. And won that. And they did it without Sarah Blitzovs, who's got a back injury. So that was a pretty good performance, I would say. Then you've got
Rebecca Cole was still very good, obviously.
Yep, 24. And Jenna, 12 and 10 is pretty good numbers. Monique Billings, 22 points, 10 rebounds. Yeah, she's a real stud as far as imports go. But
Abby
then
Bishop,
talking about
17,
them,
obviously. Yep.
Then we go to the Canberra-Bendigo game. You've got Brittany Sykes with 33 points, which is a pretty impressive performance for Canberra, who again were playing without Kelsey Griffin. But how about this for Annalee Maley? 38 points, career high. Yeah. And 20 rebounds. I'm not sure 20 is a career high because she consistently pulls down massive, you know, almost Rachel Sporn-like numbers on the board. So
have we got a new male woman? Not a male man. We have a male woman.
Yes. Yes. Go easy on the Mayo, as Paul used to like to say.
Yeah. So, of course, we are talking about Paul Maley, who used to be called the male man in the NBL. And this is his daughter. And, man, what a game. 39 minutes, mind you, but 38 and 20, that's massive.
These are pretty good numbers, and you've got to go, hey, Sandy Brondello, Opal Squad, what's cooking? Because Annalee Maley isn't in it. Now, look, there are some people that have said that she was a one-trick pony. She, you know, if you boxed her out she wouldn't, and she didn't get rebounds, that would be it. She'd be finished as a player. But the reality is she gets those rebounds week after week after week. I mean, people used to say the same thing about Mark Davis back in the day. Geez, he wouldn't get so many rebounds if we boxed him out. Mm. Didn't matter. And then when he was an offensive threat, you go, wow, he's a fantastic player. Well, Annalee Maley is absolutely an offensive threat. 38 points speaks for itself. She's been getting reasonably good numbers all season.
Understand. Four games, 20 points a game, 14 rebounds a game, couple assists a game. She is 7 from 11 from the three-point line. What more can she do?
That's what I'm saying.
You're right.
Why is she not in the current Opal squad? That is, maybe that was an oversight, but that's an oversight that can be corrected because the Opals aren't doing anything in the immediate future, or not for a little while. So pop her into the squad. She absolutely deserves to be there. And the only other thing I want to talk about with the WNBL Melbourne-Sydney result was that was a lot closer than we might have expected. You know, you think Sydney's just lost the Stephanie Watts to the knee injury, the ACL, they've gone down 83-77. That's a 6 point, that's just 2 3-pointers. You know, they're right in that game. And if we're rating Melbourne as one of the top, then you've got to say that's the Sydney is going to be absolutely around the mark. And final thing, finally confirmed, we've been saying it here on Brad and Body for months. Sammy Whitcomb is playing for the Perth Lynx.
Yes.
So that completes their roster. And I think that will be my number one team for the championship if their young coach can marshal all that talent into a cohesive unit. I think we're going to see we haven't seen them yet, but they'll be coming out of Perth shortly, and away we go.
Yeah, I agree. Good to see Charlie Hill get some numbers as well,
yes,
29,
yeah,
starting to get some legs under her as well.
Yep. Okay, so we'll come back to. I think we're going to talk a bit more WNBL a little bit later.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to talk a little NBL now.
We are going to the NBL, and what a week it's been, isn't it? So we've had some COVID issues, obviously related to the Illawarra and Brisbane. So why don't you talk to me about that a little bit?
Well, just how difficult would it be at the moment for everybody? I mean, it's been difficult all along, but you sort of get into a point where everyone's flexible and understands, well, at the drop of a hat, things could change. But then when it happens, you've still got to actually deal with it. All right, we've got a game. No, we haven't got a game. Oh, we will have a game next week. Or maybe not. You know, all that sort of stuff. Pack your bags. Could be going for a week. Could be going for a month. That degree of uncertainty, it's got to be really, really difficult for coaches and players. And families.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awful. And there's no winners there. And, you know, this is where mental health comes into it. You know, it's a big play, and you know, people are going to have to be in their rooms, and you know, as much as you get along with your teammates and everything's great, you still need your family around you. So I really feel the NBL, and I know you and I have been speaking about this for, you know, the last 2 years, they've done a fabulous job with this way they've done COVID. Rolled with the punches, you know, like they have a rolling schedule. But it's not fun, and I do feel for the players and feel for the league in general. I mean, you know, like I don't know the ins and outs of the finances, but it can't be great for owners of the club.
No, it can't be great for owners, and it can't be great for the owner of the league, Larry Kissam. Yeah. And, you know, we read recently that there's some sort of talk of the possibility of other people coming into the ownership of the actual NBL. I would say this would be the most challenging and trying time that Larry Kesselman has gone through as owner of the league, because you just don't know from week to week what it's going to be, who's going to be playing, where you're going to be playing, and then the crowd. It's got to impact crowds. Crowds got to go, should we go? Should we not go? Is it safe to go? Yeah, all that sort of thing. And I'm looking at the crowd numbers, and they're reasonably positive, but they're not what they would be in a non-COVID situation. Mm. And so if you're Larry Kesselman right now, I think I'm scratching my head and thinking, is there light at the end of this? Because at some point, Brad, we have to learn as a society, as a nation, as all nations, to live with this. Yeah. Well, there's got to be a way to live with COVID. We've been living with the flu since 100 years ago. It wiped out millions. We live with it. AIDS. Remember when AIDS happened in the 90s, and it was like everyone was terrified, and it was on everyone's mind. Well, we're at that point where we just live with it. It's just something that we deal with. And I think we've got to arrive at that place with COVID where, okay, this is there because of COVID, there are certain protocols that we have to follow, but there are going to be people that will contract the flu, that will contract this illness. How do we deal with moving on? We've got to get on with our lives.
Yeah, the hard thing is, and I'm going to talk personally, and I'm not a doctor. I've got no idea. I can only just talk what
Wait, you're not a doctor?
I'm a doctor of basketball, though, buddy. Not a
All this time I've been coming to you with my aches and pains. No wonder I'm still feeling awful.
Buddy, how many times have I said, take cream, and if it still persists, go and see someone else. But anyway, we'll talk about that separately. But I'm not scared of COVID. Like, I have to be honest with you. I think I know I'm going to get it. What I don't want to be is locked down for 7 and 14 days. That's the problem. You know, you're just locked in that house. You just don't want to be. And, you know, if you go away on holidays, or, you know, we've come down to Melbourne early because we were scared we weren't going to get to see our in-laws, you know, and my in-laws and my wife's family. So, yes, it's awful, but there's no winners there. And I agree with you. I mean, you know, Larry, I can only imagine what he's had, you know, to put into this league over the last, you know, however long he's been doing it, 5, 7, whatever it is. And, wow, what a remarkable story, and what a great job he saved our league. We've said that 1,000 times.
No question. But at what point does it become too difficult?
There's
too many obstacles. And COVID is the major one. That's what I'm saying. We have to sort of come to some sort of terms with how we're going to live with this being a constant in our lives. Instead of thinking, all right, we'll get vaccinated, we'll get a booster, and then it'll all go away. It's still going to be around. How do we deal with it so we can move forward? I don't think that's addressed enough.
Let's go back a step, though, speaking of that, and I just want to talk. We're not going to talk about the next round, so for all our listeners, next week we're going to go into that. But I do want to talk about the previous round, and, wow, some amazing games. Nothing more than Melbourne United just going bang against the Sydney Kings. But then the Kings bouncing back twice. Illawarra, a double overtime game versus New Zealand. I was at that game and called that. It was amazing. Brisbane doing what they're doing. Adelaide 36ers.
The Don't Call My let's go back to me predicting that Brisbane would beat Illawarra. I don't think too many people were on board with that, but I looked at last year's results too, and Brisbane seemed to just have a little bit of a wood on Illawarra. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, at this point, and double overtime, I didn't know it was going to be double overtime, but I knew that was going to be a tougher game than people anticipated.
Yeah.
And that Brisbane, I didn't expect Brisbane to do much in Perth the second time around, and they didn't. Now, you know, you've got the worst performance of the year from the Sydney Kings, and then the Adelaide 36ers say, yeah, hold my beer, we can do worse than that. We can go and show what a team looks like without a heart and go on a 4-4 against Cairns. And but in saying that, I just in no way want to diminish what Cairns did. Cairns was fabulous. They were on point. Majok Deng, career high. You got Keanu Pinder going, you know, this is how you should have played me, and then maybe you'd have got more value out of me as a 36er. Like, they absolutely wiped the floor with the 36ers, and that's without Scott Machado, without Mirko Jerick, and without Jordan Nagatai. So there is absolutely no excuse and no explanation for Adelaide other than the fact that they just walked in there thinking, our poo is lovely. It doesn't smell at all. We are wonderful. We're just going to walk on the floor and we'll take care of business. And they got taken care of in no uncertain terms. So that to me, that they are in that situation where Sydney Kings had the opportunity within a couple of days to bounce back, which is great. You know, you want your redemption as fast as possible. These guys have had to sit around now still waiting, and their shot at redemption is against Perth. So,
well, I've only got this to say,
buddy. You make a statement there, Brad. You make a statement. They beat Perth. That's something. But if they turn in another shocker, that's a statement too.
Right. So for me, I've just got this thing to say. How many teams over the last 2 years have missed out the playoffs by one win? Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's one win. Right.
It's been really tight.
So if you are not coming into the game, and I say this to Sydney, and I say this to Illawarra, and I say this to to Adelaide, if you are not prepared to come up against the battle for every team on every night, you don't deserve to be there. Now, I'll use Sydney as an example. You're coming in against Melbourne United that are 0-2, who you beat 2 weeks ago, Chris Golding's first game back after winning the bronze medal. Jack White didn't play, but on the verge, like the atmosphere going through the roof, you know, Delhi wanting to get redemption. Mate, if you're not ready for that team that they're coming out with a cricket bat at you and a baseball bat and the chains and the cards and everyone, mate, that's why you're down 26-0.
26-0.
Right. Yeah,
I have been covering this league since 1979. That is the biggest start ever. No team has got
doing
to
that 20. At 40.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. At 45. No, actually, I started doing it with crayons. Just ask your friend Brian Gorgian. He used to say that Marge has got his crayons out. So, I'm just saying 26-0 is the biggest start of any game ever.
All I ever do, whenever I speak to Gorge about Buddy, mate, I had to get damn bodyguards because of Buddy. He wrote crap about me every time in the newspaper. I needed bodyguards. But no, seriously, I just, you know, they're not prepared, and you have to be. And, you know, games like that, I'm not saying they were meant to beat Melbourne, but I'm saying games when you look back at a game at the end of the year and you know, whatever it is, 13-14 or 13-12 or whatever you finish, you score 16-14, whatever you finish, man, they're huge. And you just got to come ready. And you know, Cairns should not be beating Adelaide by that amount.
No.
It should not happen.
They were 40 up. Yeah. I mean, the final margin, I think it was about 26, flat at Adelaide. When you're getting beaten that bad, that's the margin that flatters you. How bad were you going? They stank, and they have to make a statement against Perth. And they're going to, but I don't know what the statement's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, if they beat Perth or they push him to the limit, you go, all right, okay, they're back. That was just an aberration, a one-off. We can move forward. But if they come and put in another sickly performance like that, then you sort of go, well, sack the imports. That's the first place you go. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sack the imports. I'm not impressed with Todd Withers, and I'm a guy that likes to give everyone a chance. Realistically, I do. And I'm not impressed with Dusty Hannes. I'm sorry. You know, he looks like your annoying kid brother. And I don't, you know.
You know, position for Dusty as a third import.
Different. But he gets 20 points, but most of that, I think 14 or something, was in the last 4 minutes of the game. Yeah. So that's meaningless. And Todd Withers, game, you know, the first game against Perth when he went for 7 and Vic Law went for 37. So we go, well, there's a major difference between your quality of your imports. Now, this goes back to Jeff Van Groningen. I'm sorry, Jeffrey. I know I'm not trying to pick on you, mate, but he picked that team and he picked those imports. And if you look at his history with imports, hasn't been great. Hasn't been great. And these, you know, you're looking at some of the other people, same with Tasmania. Like the two imports that Tasmania got, they would be great imports in this league 20 years ago.
Mm.
Right now,
well, continuing on new imports, continuing on imports, talk to me about New Zealand. They're 0-5. What do they do?
Well, I'm not, you know, like I wasn't concerned about Melbourne United when they lost their first two games. I'm not seriously concerned about New Zealand either. I think that that is a good group when they can get them healthy. The problem is, and I've said it to you all along, Brad, the problem isn't that they're lack of talent or coaching expertise. They've got that. It's that you've got this awful situation where you've got hurdles in front of you right from day one, and you've got injuries right from day one. So you end up in a hole like 0-5, and you spend the next 6 weeks just trying to dig out of that hole.
Yeah. And this is what we said at the beginning of the year, didn't we? We just said that. But let me say, I got to see them firsthand. I mean, everyone's watching on TV. I was down in Wollongong, and I've got to tell you, like, the Yanni Wetzel, I thought Finn Delaney was quiet, but he's good. Like, he's good. I would never do that. But Yanni, Hugo Besson, I thought he was fabulous.
Like
and I think their imports are better than what we're seeing. So I am going to agree with you. You wouldn't be going and making changes based on that.
I'm worried about New Zealand.
Yeah,
they just need to get a couple
of
breaks.
Good. You know, they've got some players, man. You know, I just want to see. But Abercrombie played, what, 15, 16 minutes in that game? And then I think it was his leg or hamstring or whatever it was. So it's just, I do feel for them.
He's in that age. He's in that age where you get those soft tissue injuries.
Yeah. And I just feel for that team who's on the road so much.
But quickly, quickly on imports before we move to the next thing. The young man running around for the Cairns Taipans, Tahir McCall.
Yeah,
I'm not sure quite how to pronounce it. So impressive, so energetic, so full of everything. Yeah, he's just active. Like, I love a player that plays every play. You know, when you were a player, I know when I was a player, there were times where you'd work really hard defensively and you'd run into offense and you're indicating to the point guard, go the other side. You know, you want to have a little bit of a breather here.
Yeah.
Not this young man. He plays every single play. He's active all the time. He's so much fun to watch. I mean, I thought Zimmerman might be the first import to go, but Zimmerman 36 has made him look pretty bloody good.
So. Mate, I just thought he's going to be that solid import of like a 15, 20 and 10 player. That's what I just see him just giving that, you know, nice chunk of minutes and times, but he needs players around him to block.
He's
not that guy. He's not Cam, you know, Oliver, just throw it in and let him go to work and dunk on everyone. No. But, you know, look, they look good anyway. So let's see if they can get some wins. Mate, I'm going to go first. I'm going to go my Rosen Rattler.
Oh, yeah, please.
I want to go first and I'll come to your nasty. I know you wrote about it already this week and I know all our listeners love reading BOTINAGY.com because you are the best writer in the business. And by the way, I want to talk about your book as well because I'm reading that and I'm absolutely loving it, but we'll come back to that. But can I say what happened in the WNBL with the Canberra Capitals and the Sydney Flames? I am shocked of what got handed down from what I've heard. So let's put it all in there. So obviously the Canberra Capitals coach and Opal's assistant, Paul Gorris, I hope I'm saying that right, Gorris. And referee Simon Cozier has found them breach of an acceptable ethic behaviour is the exact words, following an investigation by Basketball Australia, obviously, where it is my understanding and what's been done is there was tapes for, at training for the Sydney Flames that got handed over by referee Simon Cozier to the Canberra Capitals coach. Am I right, buddy? That's what I understand.
Now this was a footage shot at a Sydney Flames scrimmage. I think it was against an under-18 boys team. I'm not 100% on that. But they shoot footage for referee education. So this was in the preseason. So you're watching the Sydney Flames playing. You've got the footage. And now, say for example, we've got a charge block. What are you know, we're going to go through that. Here's a little bit of tape now on this incident. Charlie Hill's driven. And this guy's jumped in front of her. What's happened? That's how they work it out.
Can I also add to that? And I'm sorry. And commentary being sent tapes like this in the preseason as well, where they say this is what we're looking for and stuff like that. So I hear what you're saying. Yep.
But this was basically in the preseason where no one's seen the Sydney Flames. So any footage of the Sydney, if you're going to show say that incident I described, which is just a hypothetical incident, but that's at the end of 20 seconds of play. That's 20 seconds of the Sydney Flames offense.
Mm.
All right. So now when you're presenting that to an opposition coach, because it was meant for referee education purposes, and now you're presenting seven clips of that nature to the opposition coach or the coach in the city that you live in, no, you're stepping over a line that is very, very clear.
Yeah. I'm shocked. Number one, I'm shocked that the Flames don't get the win because, and look, this is my feeling, right? I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't want to know rule. I don't want to know the background, like all of that stuff. I'm just going from what I've read, what I've understood, what it's been explained. And I'm not making any of this up. It's there in black and white. You read it, right? And I can't understand. The Sydney Flames lost by 3, Body.
Yeah.
They lost by 3.
Yep.
How can that be where, what was the exact words? Well, Paul Smith came out and said it strikes at the heart of the integrity. So I understand
correct.
That. But what was that words that it doesn't,
It didn't advantage.
No advantage whatsoever. How can that possibly be right? I'm watching tape, this is how Charlie Hill's going to come off the screen.
Yes.
This is what this girl's going to do on that, like box out and go, and you lose by 3. I would be wonderful if I'm the Flames who are now 0-3 or whatever they are now.
Yes,
No.
At the very least, if you've proven that there's collusion between a referee and a coach to get an unfair advantage, but then you can't say, well, he didn't get an advantage. Well, then what's the point? Well, then it's fine.
And so if why did you find him? Advantage,
everything's good. You know, so that just you're at odds with yourself. Now this is
advantage. I can't believe that, Bobby. Yeah,
Total ridiculous. And you got, but this was some independent hearing panel.
Yes. Okay.
That does this.
All right.
And
this is not Basketball Australia.
No,
who did that.
Basketball Australia wears it. So now there's a 14-day period in which you can appeal. Now, if I'm Basketball Australia, I'm bloody well appealing that thing.
Oh, hell yeah. I wouldn't be happy. Because it's integrity now. Like you've just basically said, you can get away with that.
He's an Opal's assistant coach. I'm sorry, but if you've been found guilty of unethical behaviour, that's not the culture we want in our national team. I'm sorry. I'm sorry you made a mistake, but you made it.
Yeah.
You're out. That's it for me. I'm a hanging judge in these sorts of scenarios. You know.
Well, I'm not going to name names, but you think of all the sports that have done some things that are not, you know, part of the integrity of the sport. Now, we can talk cricket, we can talk basketball as well, Body. There's players out there.
Yep.
Mate, with what this ban was, it's farcical compared to others.
Yeah. Well, I've seen basketball players, you know, rubbing the ball against their groin too, you know, just like they do in cricket. There's a lot of that goes on. So you're unhappy.
That's my Rosa Rattler.
I got to agree with you except for one thing. At the very least, if you don't give the game, if you don't take the game off Canberra, you replay it. At the very least, you replay the game.
I guess, why should the players, who fought and got the win, why should they be penalised? But I'm sorry, no. You know, I'll go back to rugby league. You look at Melbourne Storm and the Canterbury Bulldogs. They got wrapped of all their points for a salary cap breach. That wasn't the player's fault. They still took it off. Now, I mean, obviously that's a huge thing. I'm talking different, but you know what I mean? Like, no, I'm sorry. I'd be giving the Flames the win. And this has got nothing to do with being skinny.
I know that. I know that. That's why I'm not accusing you of that. Everybody that listens to our program knows that you're a Southside sucker. All right. Here we go. My Nodge Nasty. See, on the light of that, my Nodge Nasty is joyous. It's in the Christmas spirit. Okay. And that is the dunk that Oniswaka Lo Bulak from the Sydney Kings threw down late in the game against the Tasmanian Jack Jumpers. Tasmanian Jack Jumpers, who at three-quarter time swapped uniforms with the Sydney Kings and decided they're going to play a completely different way than what's got them a double-digit lead and were just horrible in the last quarter after being great for three. I love that Jarrell Martin driving dunk. That was a beautiful thing. But Swaka Lo Bulak's finish there. That was the punctuation point.
Love.
That was get out of our
bush. Here's another player that's come from Perth trying to find a thing, you know, like Sunday Deck did a few years ago.
And I
love seeing players like rise to that occasion. You know, it's fabulous. So well done to him. Body, number one, I've really enjoyed the last week or so. To our listeners, Boddy and I have been enjoying our Christmas break, by the way. That's why this one's coming out. We're not going to talk about this week's games and everything that's going on because we're going to be on again this week. We're going to have someone for the interview. We're going to also look at the best and worst plays of the year. So I'm going to throw that at Boddy. And I'm talking 2021, Boddy. That's the beginning of the year as well. And you can't just come back to me and say, oh, the Boomers winning the, you know, rose gold medal. Nah, nah.
I wouldn't say that. Medal. I don't like rose gold. It's a frickin' bronze.
and we'll also then obviously wrap up the next round. We'll wrap up the calendar year, as we call it, and look forward to the next year as well. So,
I just want to
be down to Burger Boss, mate.
I'm down to Burger Boss because I can't change it. It's a bad habit.
You know why you're down to Burger Boss? Because you've got that Matt Hodgson in you. That's it. You cannot help yourself getting down a book.
Now, I just want to say thank you to the people that are listening who have bought my book. The sales have been extraordinary. Thank you very much. It's sold out in a lot of places. That sounds better than it is because, you know, bookstore may only have bought four in, so when they say they're four, sold out.
I heard they bought two in. No, crap. Yeah. I'm going to talk about it. Can I say I'm not finished it because I love my read and I'm now on holidays and been reading it when I'm on holidays. I love reading. Yeah. Mate, I am loving this book. I am loving it. My wife has got a Hungarian background as well, so there's a little bit of that extra into that. But I'm really, really enjoying this. And my kids turned around to me as I'm reading it and they go, Boddy made a book? I was like, yeah, you mean Boddy who you do the podcast? Yeah, he wrote a book. Dad, are you in it? I said, nah, I'm not that good, mate.
Hey, you haven't got through it yet. All right.
Boddy, can I say, absolutely fabulous, mate, loving it. And you are the doyen of basketball when it comes to writing and what you've done. And, mate, I'm loving it. So everyone listening out there, this is not a publicity stunt or anything. You know, we had the Lindsay Gaze when we published that on this place as well. And there was another book and I'm loving it. I've read the Andrew Gaze one. I'm loving that. The Chris Anstey one. But Boddy is definitely one that you should read. Well done, mate. It's brilliant.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun to do.
Good on
you. Let's bail. We've got one more before we go out for the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we will. We'll get a good interview on next week too. Make sure you look out for that. It will be a beauty. To everyone else, have a fantastic couple of days off. Enjoy Boxing Day games and the week that's coming up. And we'll see you next time.
Cheers. Hey, Brad, thanks very much for the book plug. Really appreciate that. A Type of Life. Yes.
Mate, you said I'm in the book, so do I get royalties and checks in the mail?
No, Brad.